This is 87.9 FM in Los Angeles and San Francisco. We're located up in San Francisco. This is Pirate Cat Radio. My name is Zephyr, and the show is called Frank Prattle. We had some music before, but now we're going to have some interviews with three of my favorite people in the world. Andrew and Breezy from Needles and Pins, and Chris Fitzpatrick from On Six Gallery. You guys just want to introduce yourselves ever so quickly, and then maybe, I don't know, give your websites for people listening along.
My name is Chris Fitzpatrick, and I work for On Six Gallery. It's onsixgallery.com.
Andrew Scott.
Needles and Pins. All right, Needles and Pens on 16th Street. The website is www.needlespens.com.
And I'm Breezy, and I help run Needles and Pens as well.
Sorry, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. I think one of the microphones is going kaboots. There was some horseplay earlier. I'm not pointing fingers. So, now that we have you guys all together, I was hoping to maybe start with, Chris, what exactly is On Six Gallery?
Well, originally we wanted to create our own gallery, so we started looking around at spaces throughout the city. And it was kind of a tough process, and somewhere in the middle of that process, we met this guy, Angel Cruz, who ran Club 6, which is on 6th Street between Market and Mission. And he was looking to do something with art. So we worked it out with him where we would start doing art shows there, and he kind of gave us full run of the place. So we wanted to try and make a different kind of art experience. So we started having live music and art at the same time. And then what it kind of created was just a big place for networking and meeting each other. So you'd have these one-night art shows, and so many people would come through that you could really meet a lot of people and then hopefully get more opportunities out of that by the people that you met.
Sorry, the mics are going all fucking gizzly. So did you find it to be fairly successful? I mean, how long have you guys done it?
Well, we did it for about 2.5 years. We're taking a break right now.
What else you got on the slab?
Well, I just did a show at Space Gallery for Monica Canaleo. And we have a show coming up at Luggage Store next year. Not Luggage
Store, but the Luggage Store Annex, which is on Ellis. And so we're just trying to branch out and work with other places for a while.
That sounds good. Andrew and Breezy, what about yourselves?
Yes.
Yes.
Us, ourselves.
Breezy, you're going to have to talk into the mic, though.
Well, Needle, what was the question again? It was...
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are we?
Yeah.
We're just...
Who the hell do you think you are?
Regular Joes. I don't know. Needles and Pens. What you want to know about Needles and Pens?
You guys just recently had a move, didn't you not?
We did. We just moved 2 blocks from 14th Street over to 16th Street. Just a little bit bigger space and a little busier location.
Nice.
So...
Well, we started on 14th Street, and we were there for about 3.5 years, and it was a tiny little space. How big was it, Andrew?
It was about 8.5 feet wide by, like, I don't know, 30 feet long. It's pretty small.
Right.
One-car garage, basically.
Yeah.
And so we moved over to 16th Street to a bigger location, and we've been there for about
almost six months now.
So yeah. Altogether about 4 years now.
How do you like being on 16th Street?
I like it. It feels good. It's busier and you know, bigger. It feels a little bit more part of, more connected, I guess, to the rest of the Mission. Whereas 14th Street was more, it was a little cut off, I think, from the rest of what was happening. But which was cool, because we had a sort of our own little neighborhood there for a while, which lasted about a year, you know.
There was Record Collector and John Tripp had Low Gallery, and then there was Box Dog Bikes and Woodward Flats, and we'd all have openings at the same time.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was nice, and we had a little backyard. So, I mean, it was different, you know. It definitely had some hole-in-the-wall charm, as opposed to the new store, which is more of a more of a storefront, regular retail space.
We happen to have a telephone call right now. Okay. You guys want to take it? Let's do it. Hold on. Hello, you're on Pirate Cat Radio. Hello? Hello?
I think they hung up, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to call in and you have a question for these fine art purveyors of San Francisco, the number is 415-626-6180. So we were talking a little bit about 14th Street and the scene down there. Low Gallery, I know, was down there for a while, but it kind of folded up, I guess, and turned into a web retail spot, maybe?
Maybe it could have morphed into that. I think John was just kind of sick of it, you know. I don't think John really needs to do a gallery. He's got his hands full with his website, so. Right.
He did all he could do with it, and it just, fecal face is consuming all of his time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk a little bit between the two of you. What do you guys see going on in San Francisco right now as far as the art world goes? Like from where you sit, you know, not an official fucking MoMA perspective, what have you, but from what you got going on?
Well, I guess which part of the art scene do you mean?
All right, let's start at street art. What do you think? Walking around.
You see a lot of it. You do see a lot of it. I mean, I tend to see a lot of it.
Anything in particular you like, dislike?
I wouldn't say that there's anything that I dislike. I think everybody's taste is different and keeps changing over time. We definitely showed a lot more street art originally than we did in the end there. But I don't know, it's like a kind of an umbrella term. I still have trouble trying to define all this stuff.
Yeah.
Especially being somewhat new to visual art as well. So I don't know. Too early in the morning for me, I guess.
What about you guys? What do you think about the street level scene in San Francisco?
I honestly don't, there hasn't really been anything that's really catching my attention in the last year, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, internationally, I think, like, I mean, I guess, like, Banksy, I think his stuff's pretty amazing, you know. I guess he's done some stuff in San Francisco, I guess, but I guess that counts. But as far as San Francisco, I haven't really seen stuff, like, recently that's really caught my attention. But I think Banksy's amazing. I think his stuff's, I mean, he's pretty, like, almost mainstream as far as street artists go, but I think he's definitely doing stuff that's, I don't know, I think it gives hope for, I don't know what's to come, you know. It's because I think he's one person that's sort of pushing the boundaries and not just repeating what everybody else is doing, you know.
Right.
So, seems to have a message to what he's, you know, saying, whatever.
And he's got good humor to it too.
Totally. Yeah. Huh. But in San Francisco, I don't know. I can't say that anything really caught my attention recently, except for I think Gideon Kramer. I think he's on the forefront.
No.
He's on the forefront of street art.
Yeah, he's really doing.
He's the guy that buffs out all the graffiti.
He's
familiar with him.
He's quite a local icon, I would have to say.
Yeah, you look at the stuff he does. It's pretty interesting, you know. He
uses green.
He's got green. He's got tan.
He's got I think he's got a dark gray.
Maybe a light blue. Have
he
you seen a light blue?
It up. He
yeah,
keeps it going, you know.
But it makes an interesting collage of colors, you know. The bike rack outside of Needles and Pins, for example. People should check that out. It's pretty interesting.
So what do you guys think about, like, the subconscious art of graffiti removal, what have you? Like, do you think that is an art in and of itself?
I heard about this guy in Rhode Island that was his thing, and he just would do squares. What I thought was pretty brilliant, you know. It was like he would just go around and paint squares, like buffed out, like graffiti, you know, and people...
Would there be graffiti underneath, though?
No, he would just paint a square.
All right.
Like it was covering graffiti, like much like our friend Gideon Kramer, you know? But I thought that was brilliant because no one ever touched it because they thought it was, you know, covering up, you know, beautifying the you know, urban blight or whatever.
Yeah. Mm, good. I like it.
Yes. So, yeah, I think he's on the forefront of street art.
Forefront.
I think he's our main man.
Forefront back door.
Yeah.
What about as far as inside the walls, what have you?
So, you know, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to be framed, but what do you guys? Who do you guys like right now, Chris?
Well, I just saw Cody Paloma's show at Triple Bass, and I like Cody a lot, and I thought his art show was pretty cool. Especially having worked on Sixth Street for the last 3 years, to see all those characters and the way that he showed them was pretty interesting. And what's great about it is that he kind of draws these characters in a really crude way, but at the same time he doesn't reduce them so that you can't still see how complicated they are. And those are some of the most interesting characters. They're rough to be around, but I really liked his show over at Triple Bass.
What I actually got to see that show, and for those of you in Los Angeles, Sixth Street is probably the nastiest street, I'd have to say, in San Francisco. I mean, what do you guys think? Is there a nastier street?
I think you'd call it Skid Row. You know, that's what they call it.
I've never seen Sebastian Bach there, but
well, yeah, hung along around long enough, man.
They planted palm trees, so look out. All over.
Yeah, they got the 6th Street Beautification Project, which isn't fooling anybody. They put some palm trees on there, but the palm trees smell like human urine, so it's not really working out too well.
Well, it's nice to see that the residence hotels haven't been kicked out, you know, at least as long as they've got the SRO places, that it'll still, like, remain true to its, you know, what it is.
I lived on 6th Street, like, 13 years ago. And I would say that it is much better now, but it's still a long ways to go.
What do you guys think of that building? Was it on Howard and Sixth?
Is it with the chairs hanging out?
The hanging building, yeah.
Mm. I think it's cool. I like it.
Do you guys ever get nervous? Do you ever walk by it?
I usually just ride my bicycle by on the other side of the street. I guess I don't really think about it, but I do enjoy it.
I like it.
Do you? I mean, it always just first moving to this town and seeing that fucking building, I was like. I mean, is this not, like, tempting fate? Like, this is the earthquake capital of the U.S., and you have a building with all the furniture hanging out the window over the street.
I wonder, from a zoning perspective, how they got the permission to do that sort of thing, or if they just did it, you know? I mean, what city official said, okay, yeah, sure, hang furniture off the side of the building. I don't know. I mean, with owning a business, you deal with all these, you know, zoning, and, you know, you have to get permission to do anything, you know? So, but it's kind of interesting to see. How they got that to happen.
Yeah. Any other, like, large public art projects like that you see happening in San Francisco other than that goddamn Burning Man sculpture down on Embarcadero?
Well, Clarion Alley, of course. That's happening tomorrow. And that's a huge public works space for sure. I guess it's like its seventh year in a row now. That's got to be my favorite still.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about Clarion Alley.
Well, it's this alley. It's on. It's between 17th and 18th in Valencia and Mission, and it was just basically this nasty crack alley. And they started to get artists involved to do murals. And every year they have new murals that are painted on the walls, and bands play, and they shut off the street. And I'd say it's definitely something to check out. It's from like 1 to 9 or 10 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
I know a few of the muralists that are in there. One is Kyle Ranson. He just finished up a big one down there.
Yeah, Kyle Ranson and Sarah Thustra are the two favorites, and Mary Scott and Dave Binsler. Everyone's that's doing a mural this time around is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? These are some of the artists that you guys have actually shown at your place?
Yeah.
Definitely. It seems like we have sort of a small little extended family. I know people that have volunteered at our store and then shown art at our store. But yeah, I don't know if you call it McMission scene. I don't know what you call it, what the name is for it now. I don't know. But there are definitely artists that have been around our little scene for the last four years. From the beginning, for Needles and Pins, anyway. You know,
Sarah Thustra has been working with us forever, and Mary Scott volunteered for us, so did Kyle. Kyle did a mural on 14th Street for a Mission Art Walk that I organized a few years, and Dave Binsler was our right-hand man for a long time, too.
He volunteered at the shop for a while, too. I like his mural at Clarion. This says, don't poop here. That's what it says. That's pretty great. But But yeah, I don't know. Other festivals. I heard Southern Exposure was doing one today as well, that where they were going to trace out the, because there used to be a lake, I guess, in the Mission that was been covered over by housing and, you know.
A lagoon.
Yeah, but so they were going to make a chalk outline of the lake and have all these activities around it, like a barbecue today around the lakeside, the imaginary lakeside. But I don't know. That sounds pretty cool, too.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
So one question I wanted to ask both you guys is, you both have establishments that are not strictly for art, that you have other things going on inside there. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have aspirations towards creating something that is strictly for art, or do you like it, you know, kept in the mix like that, where you have more than one thing going on?
It's all art in a way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I mean, as far as what, just a pure art project.
Well, you have like the difference between a gallery and, let's say, some place that sells, you know, zines,
sure,
or
sure,
showing art. You know?
Well, I think the, I mean, the reason why I think a lot of people have other stuff going on is because it's, you need to, you know. I think a lot of places that are strictly galleries are, you have grants and, you know, they have other sort of funding. I don't think it's pretty difficult, I think, these days, just to have a purely art establishment, you know.
I mean, zines, everything, yeah, in our shop's made by hand.
It is, I mean, yeah, you could
all
say
the,
it is.
All the zines are made by hand, all the clothing and accessories is. So it's just another form of art, but it's all art.
It's true.
And it's always been our main objective to show everything.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, what's
It's an expensive town, and rents are high, so it's hard to do just a strict gallery where all you do is put art on the walls, and then even if you do that, then everything has to be totally consumptive, and it makes it hard to do anything that's not saleable unless you become a nonprofit. And I think some galleries are starting to do that, and I think it's really smart in a city like this where galleries open and fold a lot. So with On Six, I mean, that's why we ended up doing that project, was because it was just a lot more, you know, feasible monetarily, because the club already exists. He gives us full run of the place, but, you know, we don't necessarily have to make a exact number every month in order to stay in business.
Right.
You know, but you do have to make a certain amount of money for him in order for him to stay happy.
One of the things I'm also curious about, especially with On Six Gallery, and, you know, I don't know what it's like for Needles and Pins, but On Six doesn't take a cut from their artist sales, do they?
No, we didn't take a cut from most of the shows. The only show I think that we had to take a cut from was a super expensive show where we had gotten a bunch of large bands, and we only took it out of the solo room for that show. So we tried really hard to never take commission out of the art, because what we wanted to do was be able to showcase a big number of artists, but also be able to make them some money. And then our focus was, we had to make a certain number at the bar for the club.
Right.
So, you know, and then we also, being a club, you have a different dynamic going on, because you can charge a cover fee, and that could pay for all of our expenses so we could stay in business. But we always did 7 and 9 for free, so that anybody and everybody could come in, you know, as long as they were 21.
I know that I've definitely been to some art openings at your place. They got pretty crazy as well.
Yeah,
because you kept it open later, mm-hmm, you know, till club hours for that.
Well, we kind of looked at it as the art show was from 7 to 9, and that's when you could come in for free. You could check out all the art. That's the easiest time to buy art. And then starting from 9, usually right around 10 or 11, it just gets so packed that. And that was kind of frustrating at times, because people lose sight of the fact that it's even an art show. You know, it becomes such a big party, but, you know, where you have 500 or 600 people in a crowded room, you can't even walk around. But it was fun, and a lot of people that we've shown have always told us that they met a lot of people out of it, and that was one of our original intentions.
One of the things that I've heard kind of recently with people kind of using multiple spaces, there are spaces for multiple things, you know, not just like fucking a white wall gallery, what have you,
mm-hmm,
is that it makes art fun somewhat again for, you know, people, younger people such as ourselves, you know. And I don't know, what are you guys' feelings on that? Is the gallery scene kind of killing art
Is it like the ballet now?
I don't think so personally, because I like to go to galleries where it's just art, and I think that's super fun. But I think a lot of people find it really sterile, uninviting, pretentious. So something like On Six, where you don't have to just kind of come in, you know, fold your arms and contemplate the work. You can dance or listen to music or whatever, or have a bunch of drinks. That's what we were trying to do, is just make it more inclusive to people who felt alienated by gallery art, you know, art world
stuff.
What about you guys?
I don't know. I think it definitely is. It's, I don't know, with websites like Fecal Face and you know, I think it's definitely drawing more of a party scene. I think maybe it's dying down a little bit. It seems like maybe like a year ago. I don't know. Like, it's hard to say, but it seems like a lot of people were just coming to art shows just to party. You know what I mean? I think with Needles and Pins, we kind of got a little bit of that, you know, because we had a backyard in our space, so we'd open that up and... Well, and then, and especially when we had the low gallery next to us, and you know, it would get out of hand. You know, people would just be coming to party, which is okay. But sometimes I think it's not really about the art. It's just like, hey, let's just all go drink beer here or whatever and hang out. You know, so that's, I think it got kind of frustrating, I think, a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's cool, you know, to get a lot of people there, because as a business, you know, or, you know, even as an art gallery, the more people, the more likely you are to sell something, you know, and thus keep perpetuating what you're doing. But it is kind of frustrating, I think, to see it more turn into more of a party scene than people actually, I don't know, and just people enjoying the art, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it makes it more interesting when it's not in, like, a formal setting. Like, one of our inspirations, or one of my favorite places, Adobe Books. I always found Adobe was just an amazing place because it had this other thing going on. I mean, besides the gallery, the bookstore, I mean, the whole thing is almost like a performance piece. Anytime you walk into Adobe, there's so many interesting characters hanging out there. I don't know. I definitely like it. Spaces that aren't formal galleries, but it depends. Depends what place that you're talking about. You know, there are some good galleries out there that are more traditional. But yeah, I think that little weird alternative spaces invite just more creative things happening, because you're not just subjected to what you're supposed to be doing.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You guys both have had somewhat, you know, large openings where a lot of people showed up and things like that. You ever had any problem with art getting damaged or something, you know, like that?
No, we haven't. We have.
But I will say that we replaced it. You know, well, we didn't replace it, but we paid for it.
So, you bought it?
Yeah. Anything that's ever been broken or, you know, or scratched or anything has been paid for, because it's just, what else can you do, you know?
Yeah.
But it gets hard when you have, let's say we got 14 security guards and then you got 700 people. You know, you can do the math right there. And I know people think that the guards there are total jerks, and some of them are, but they are doing their job and they have to be like that. Otherwise, it'll just be total chaos there, you know?
Right.
I mean, the show we had with Chris Lindig and Hamburger Eyes and Bigfoot and Ethan Indorse videos, it was the Coach Whip's last show. We made the mistake of letting them play upstairs, which was actually one of the greatest mistakes ever, because it was awesome. It was super fun to watch that kind of pandemonium, but people were just going nuts. It was the Coach Whip's last West Coast show. People were going crazy. And, you know, one of Dave Schubert's frames got cracked because some girl smashed it with her bare breasts, you know. I mean, it was just, I got in a fight that night. I mean, it was just total craziness. And that kind of is exactly what you don't want in an art gallery, but at the same time, it's just, how can you deny it? It was just so fun to watch that place just go totally into chaos.
Bare breast smashing. Yeah. Our next performance art.
Speaking of bare breasts, I was recently up at Receiver Gallery for their, you know, Keep Abreast show, what have you, and as I was leaving, I was nearly knocked down by a young scoundrel
with his hands full of an art piece and that he was stealing from the place.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it was so packed that everybody just kind of thought he was moving it, or I don't know what they thought, but you know, after about half a second, some lady came running after him and was like, stop, he's stealing the art.
Have you went?
Yeah, no, he got off scot-free. I hear that he brought it back like a couple days later, but have you guys ever had like art stolen and things like that? Like how much theft do you guys have like on 16th?
No art, but merchandise, yeah. We do. Which we didn't really have on 14th Street so much. I think it's just as a result of more volume of people, you know, you get more all types of people, including, you know, shoplifters. But yeah, we've had a couple. I mean, it's really bizarre. People, I actually caught this guy the other day stealing a $2 fanzine, you know, which kind of blows my mind. It's like, why are you stealing a $2 fanzine? You know what I mean? I don't know. But it was pretty good. I caught him. So
he got a photo
of
him too.
Yeah, he stole before, and I kind of was like, oh, that guy just stole something. But I wasn't sure. But then he came back, and I was like, oh, there he is. I'm going to nail him. So I pretended I was sweeping, and he started walking. I was like, oh, hey, you going to pay for that, man? He's like, oh, my bad. And I got my digital camera and snapped a picture of him, and I was like, so I've got, you know, needles and pens most wanted. $2 fans.
Busting crime.
That's right, man.
Hard times. So let's have a little bit of music now. You guys, Chris, you brought in a CD. What's the other one than that one?
Well, I brought Marianne Amaker, and I brought in Noisegate. Noisegate's a group I used to be in, and Marianne Amaker is a woman who I think is awesome.
This is, I think, Marianne Amaker.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
If you play the first track, it's.
Will it melt my mind?
It will melt your mind.
I'm ready. Los Angeles, San Francisco, prepare. This is Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9. That was Marianne Amaker, Chris Fitzpatrick's pick. that is definitely the mind melter.
Track is designed so that if you play it at high volumes, it actually makes your ears sing. Your ears fill in the notes in between those things. So pick it up, turn it up, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, nice.
But the rest of the tracks on there are really ambient, just really sub-heavy tracks, because they were live performances she did where there's speakers all over this cavern and in different rooms, and so you hear sounds travel through the space. It's almost like audio cartography or something like that, you know?
Huh. What, you know, I've often heard rumor, and maybe you guys can help me with this as well. I've heard rumor that there is something known as the brown note. Have you ever heard of the brown note?
Mm-mm.
I have not.
The brown note. It's supposedly a note, a bass note, that is just perfect.
7 hertz.
That it will release your bowels.
7 hertz.
I'm totally not shitting you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why don't they sell that, you know?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Andrew.
You know, in your...
The thing is, I don't think you can reproduce that with our speakers that we have today. It's 7 hertz, and I think speakers go down to maybe 20, I think, at the lowest.
Really?
Walgreens should carry it or something, you know?
Walgreens should carry it. I think they have it at Costco.
Ah, figures. You have to buy it.
Comes with a toilet.
7 hertz. You've heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Damn.
Ouch.
Gets me excited just thinking about it.
There was an alternative noise experimental music place, actually, called 7 hertz, that was run by a video and sound artist named Scott Arford, out on the water down by Illinois Street, and he named it after that frequency because it will make you shit, supposedly. Can I say that on the radio?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, thanks.
You want to say it again?
Shit!
Okay, so I had a few more questions for you guys. What as far as artists run spaces, what have you? You all do art as well, no? What tell us a little bit about what you actually do. And
well, lately I've just been painting and drawing, which is kind of new for me.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, I did that when I was a lot younger, but I got really into installation and conceptual art and video art and sound art and a lot of new genres type stuff. And that became pretty consuming. But the problem with that stuff is that you get locked in this syndrome of where people are always trying to one-up each other, or it comes like academic papers where everybody's just referencing each other so hard. You become like a... I don't know, it's just... And plus, where are you going to store that kind of stuff? So, I haven't been doing that anymore. But I used to do some strange projects, and nowadays I'm trying to just simplify it and just make paintings and drawings.
Anything in particular that you've been painting recently?
No, the last thing I did was kind of trying to make a battleship out of feathers, and instead of an anchor, put a skull of a hawk.
Andrew, what about yourself?
Well, I don't know. It's always hard to say what you do, because like, call yourself an artist, it means you, I don't know, I always kind of assume that means you're good at it or something. But I don't know, I just write and do graphic design and doodle, make zines. I don't know. I do a zine called Sob Story. I've been doing it for, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years. I don't know. I've been doing zines for like 15 years. I guess that's sort of an artwork, I guess. You call it art books. But I never called it that. I just called it zines. What else? I don't know. Take photos. Kind of a jack of all trades, I guess, you know.
You had a painting at On Six, didn't you?
No, I never did.
You didn't?
Uh-uh.
I thought you did.
Uh-uh.
You guys got a fight about it?
No, I believe him.
I stole it. I smashed it with my boob.
Breezy.
Oh, run it down. All right. I make clothing. I guess that's my art. I do this clothing label, Stranded, and I've been doing it since I was a kid, and a lot of it's just reconstructed vintage clothing. So that's my form of art. I think we got a call.
Fuck. All right.
We're popular.
Pirate Cat Radio. We're going to take it this time.
Hello, this is Pirate Cat.
Hello, this is Monkey.
Monkey, how are you?
I'm all right. Are we on the air right now or no?
We are indeed on the air. Welcome.
All right, take me off the air when you have a moment, and call me back.
Sounds good. Right. Have a good day.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, caller. All right, so I'm sorry, Breezy, you were saying about Stranded clothing?
Oh, well, that's what I do. I make clothing, which some might not think that's art, but it can be. And that's about it, really. I don't really write or paint or draw or anything like that. I mean, just for myself, but I don't really show anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Do you guys think that making things, such as you all do, that was directly responsible for you getting into the business that you're in now?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. I think it was just kind of an extension of, I don't know. To me, I base it all back to punk rock, you know, like just the whole do-it-yourself train of thinking, you know. Because, you know, I guess, you know, make your own music, make your own media, make your own store, make your own gallery, you know. I guess that's, I think Fabrizi and I both, that's a kind of our reason for doing things, you know.
Well, he did a zine, and then, like I said, I made clothing, and that's kind of how it initially came together, is to bring both things together. He's the pen's half, basically. He does all the, makes all the, he knows all about the zine community, and I was involved with sewing and stuff like that, and then we both liked art, so, yeah, we came together because we were both into that.
Same thing with me and Sham. We both.
Speaking of, where is your boyfriend? He's not here today.
He's with his girlfriend.
Twisted world.
It is. It's crazy. No, but you know, he and I, like them, we're also just grew up in that same environment where if you want to do a show, you just put it together yourself. And it could be in your garage, or it could be at the rec center, or it could be at a club. Doesn't matter. You just make it happen. And so we were literally just walking down the street one day, and we said, you know, we should start a gallery. And so we did, you know. And I think that's I mean, you can have all the safety pins and spikes that you want, but I think stuff like that, to me nowadays, I think is way more punk. Sham and I were actually just talking about last night. We saw this Crispin Glover movie, and he did a Q&A afterwards, and he was saying how he only reason he acts in movies is to pay for his, to subsidize his own art, is to pay for the stuff that he really wants to do. And that's super punk, I think, and that's really what you have to do, I think, to make stuff happen in our world, because nobody's going to just hand it to you. And the chances of one of the major galleries just happen to pick you up is hard, so I think if people try and do it themselves, a lot can come out of it. At the very least, you can meet a lot of cool people.
I think that's what our thinking was too. You know, we just, this is a way to hopefully, maybe we could like eke out a meager living doing this, and you know, at the same time doing something that's creative and do our own creative stuff on the side as well. You know, and it's kind of a vehicle, you know, for our own creative stuff as well. You know, I mean, like, I make zines and then I can sell zines in my own shop. You know, it's like instant distro. You know, or I don't know. And Breezy makes clothing and she can sell them at her own shop too. You know, and it's a great way to meet people. We've met, like, you know, I've met people like pretty much every zine stir, whatever, that I've looked up to in my, you know, since I started reading zines, I've met or, you know, had some sort of you know, connect or what's the word. correspondence with, you know, as far an artist as well, you know. That's another thing I should mention is, like, with the shop, it's like he was talking about how it's a great way to meet people, and I think I've probably met, you know, most all of my contemporary, like, heroes just from having this store, you know, and art gallery as well, which is pretty mind-blowing.
Who are some of the people that you look to nowadays?
Like Daniel Higgs from Lungfish. He was in an art show, and he played music at our store. Sam McFeeters from Born Against was in one of our shows. Ian McKay came to one of our shows. I don't know.
He's famous.
He is. And who else? Tim Kerr from the Big Boys was in an art show with us.
Britney Spears.
She's
really excited.
She used to be famous.
Yeah, and Mike Watt came to Tim Kerr's art show. You know, it was just like, you know, it's just crazy, you know. And I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. I've created something that's actually, like, draws these people, you know, people that I look up to, and they're actually coming to something that I've created. It's, like, pretty affirming, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, so we're going to have a little bit more music right now. Andrew, what's this?
This is Bo Diddley, Bring It to Jerome.
Ooh.
Track 3.
Pretty baby, this mess I won't stand. All the other women, I say you got another man. Bring it on home, bring it to the room. Bring it on home, bring it to the room.
All right, this is 87.9 Pirate Cat Radio, Los Angeles. Hello, San Francisco. Hello. We're live today with Chris Fitzpatrick from On Six Gallery and Andrew and Breezy from Needles and Pins. I don't know your last names.
Scott. You
Culbertson.
All right, the FBI is looking now. Thanks.
Yeah, great.
And this show is called Frank Prattle, and we bring some people on every week, and they talk about art stuffs, what have you, somewhat related art stuffs, and, you know, very arty art stuffs, and more art stuffs and things like that. Chit-chat bantered. You'll hear if you stick around for long enough. In about 10, 15 minutes, Pirate Cat Radio is going to be going down for a little bit, but it'll be back up in about 45 minutes while there are some minor technical adjustments. Sorry about that. If you send me money, though, next month it won't happen. And you can send that to 661 Natoma Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. If you'd like to call in, it's 415-626-6180. We're going to talk about politics now, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're light of stomach, you know, if you're bent of wrist, what have you, you better turn off that goddamn dial. So, for those of you who don't know, our dear President George Bush, on Tuesday of this last week, gutted one of our basic principal rights.